So the big story we should probably start with, and I'm really curious what you all think about this. You know, when there's a dearth of information, conspiracy theories pour in to fill the void.
Yeah, exactly.
The DOJ told the court yesterday,
Never mind.
We found a way to unlock the iPhone. Apple doesn't have to do anything, and we are withdrawing our suit to compel Apple to assist in unlocking that 5C used by the San Bernardino shooter. That's it. We're all done. Now, there are a couple of things. First of all, we don't know what the vulnerability is or who offered it. Could it even been Apple? But there is a big question. If there's a vulnerability, will the government tell Apple so they can patch it? And I'm thinking...
I doubt it.
Right? Because they want to keep...
It's also unclear if the government actually had it, because I think that the recent rumors were that some consulting company offered it to them. So sort of like that hacker group that got hacked previously, there's groups around the world that collect 0 days and other exploits and jailbreak exploits. And if they offered their services to the government, then that, you know, they came in, gave them a phone, they broke it, gave it back to the government.
Well, so I just told you what we know. Now, Everything else we say is filling the void because there's so much we don't know.
Yeah, well, they're not going to show us, but I'd like to see the data if they think that they really got, if they say they really got it off. I'd like to see what that was, because
but they said it in court, so I don't know if they would lie about getting data off.
No, I'm sure they did.
They got something off of it.
I'm sure they did.
Helps remember that they have, because this entire action was based on the All Writs Act. They have to withdraw if they have the ability to do this without Apple's help. So basically, their entire premise became invalid as soon as they had the ability to do it. And also, there's a lot of interesting language in there. They did say definitely that it was an outside company for anybody inside Apple to even, hey, let's just settle this, let's just fix this. For them to have had any involvement in this after they stuck their neck out that far would be a ridiculous thing to even contemplate. But you realize that an outside company can also mean a government contractor in McLean, Virginia, whose one client is the United States government. So,
but it does, you know, it does kind of underscore what Tim Cook's been saying all along, because now we know there's a vulnerability, and that the government has there is a system they go through about whether they notify Apple or about this or not, and that they haven't yet said whether they will, and we may never know if they do.
And there's always vulnerabilities.
But they should.
Every version of iOS has, like, that's how they keep getting jailbroken. And I think, you know, there was Pengu that jailbroke iOS 9.1 because of a vulnerability. Then Apple patched it and they looked for another vulnerability. And that's typically how the game works.
But Apple really ought to have a chance to fix that vulnerability, right?
And absolutely. No,
it's not anyone, any outside party's responsibility to tell Apple how they screwed up and tell them how to fix it. It might be an ethical.
What's an ethical one?
It might be an ethical obligation. Yeah. But then again, someone in law enforcement might say that if we feel as though we can keep people safe by having this door that only we, that very few people, including us, have access to, perhaps it's better that we keep this door open. In the past, they have also, there's at least one published instance in which they have, they reached out to somebody who was going to be presenting a paper at a White Hat hacker conference, and they approached this person before they had was like the preface of the presentation, and they said, "Oh, that's interesting. Why don't you show us how that works?" And then they were so impressed by it that they made that a classified secret and forbade him from actually presenting, because they wanted this trick to be their exclusive property. So a lot of things can happen.
Well, and I think that it's fair game for the FBI to find. I mean, compared to how apoplectic I was about them forcing Apple to do it, it's fair game for them to figure out a way to crack a phone that has a vulnerability. I think this is their job. This is what they should be doing. Mm-hmm. For them to figure out how to get into these to get data, I think is fair game. I don't think that they owe Apple anything to figure it out. Apple's going to have to figure it out. I think that the precedent that was so concerning was the idea that they could force Apple to write new code to spy on people. Yeah. That's the part that was scary. Not that they're spying on us and not that they, you know, could hack into it or are going to hack into it. It was that they could force a company to write, you know, novel code that wasn't already there, you know, to open it up, was opening up a Pandora's box that I thought, I think that was, very dangerous. And I do think that there was some pressure put on them to find another way, because I think that they were, if they had lost the case, the precedent would have been set and, you know, all of these little openings would have been being closed up, which are still being closed up, but it would have been much worse, I think.
Yeah. If I was doing the movie version of this, then it seemed to me, if I was doing a cinematic version of this, that they decided that this would be the perfect case to try to get the All Writs Act codified or a precedent set that would allow them to be able to force and compel companies to write that kind of code. But then over the progressive weeks when Apple fought back, and maybe they weren't expecting that level of pushback, sentiment wasn't as completely on their side as they thought it was. And legal interpretation, including the New York City case, wasn't as on their side as maybe they hoped it would be. And it just became clear that this was a game of chicken that they may not win. And the only thing worse than getting a precedent that would let them overreach to this degree would get a precedent that shut them out of this. So rather than risk that sort of a thing, it felt like they said, okay, we know we're going to take this away. The scary part to me is that this didn't get solved. It's not like a court ruled and said, you can't do this. They took their ball and went home. So this is still hanging over us like a sort of hacking Democles, where if there's another case like this, they might try again, or they might think there's a better opportunity or a better judge to try it with. So I think that, you know, it's sort of great that this happened, but we have to be very vigilant about how this surfaces next.
Well, and I do feel like that there's I do feel as though there's more mundane explanations here. And again, we're, as Leo so very wisely covered all of our butts, we're basically you say the three sentences that are the actual facts of the case that we've revealed that have been revealed for the past week, and the rest is speculation and opinion, and hopefully informed opinion. But again, the government's hands were tied the moment that they cannot apply this court action the way that they've applied it, so long as they feel as though they have the ability to do this without Apple's help. So I feel as though the reason why they withdrew was because at some point they had information that they didn't have when they first filed this action. And there's also no one entity called the government. There is all kinds of different departments, and a lot of them, if they don't actively hate each other, they're not going to do anything to help each other. My opinion, if I were in Vegas and I had to lay a bet and I wanted to make my money back, I would be saying that there was always another contractor that works with the government that had a way to get through this, but they've had no impulse whatsoever to volunteer their services or this information to the FBI, and that at some point somebody had lunch with the right
person. Did his name rhyme with Ron McAfee?
Probably not.
Okay.
I'm guessing
I'm
no.
thinking not.
I guess the most impressive thing that he did in that entire exchange was realize that, okay, this is the part in my life where I either go all in and risk and risk being a fool for life, or admit that I said things I should not have said and I'm embarrassed for a couple of weeks. But yeah, I'm certain that at a certain political level they would like this thing settled. I think citizens and corporations would like this topic settled. I don't feel, from what I've been seeing and hearing about this case, I don't feel as though there was any motivation. I believe that the immediate motivation was to get the data on this phone. I also think that they had to have known that by trying to compel Apple to do this, whether the only two possible solutions would be Apple decides that this is not a fight that they want to fight and they comply, or they fight, in which case this gets, even if the FBI wins, it gets drawn out so long that any information on that phone would be of no value. So I feel as though their gambit was, let's at least try to get let's try to compel Apple, and we don't know if we're going to be able to fight them in court over this, but if we can sort of twist their arm and get them with the help of our political wings and for help of public opinion, get them to find a way that they can say that they were only helping out law enforcement without turning their back on their stated position about the defense of private security. I think that that's what they were trying to get at.
Well, I think that the bigger fight is going to probably be in Europe, specifically because Europe has more to more risk. I mean, they have more going on that they need to have that data.
Yeah.
But I think that the fight there is going to be, because the problem is if once one country does it, it just becomes this thing. And so you have all these countries that are looking at trying to legislate that. And Europe, I think, is pulled between two things where they're very privacy driven as well as very security driven. And I don't know if they really have a solution for that yet. I don't think it's going to happen in our Congress anytime soon. I don't think there's an appetite for going down that path.